I think we get stuck with go do compassion. Go do. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm gonna go do all these things. So here's what we do. Okay, we come over here and we go, oh, look, compassion. And we take notes. You're taking notes. Look at compassion. I'm gonna take notes and do compassion. Okay, that's what it looks like. I heard it in church. The preacher talked about compassion. I'm gonna go over here and I'm gonna do compassion. We're not just gonna study it and take good notes on it. Come on. Oh yeah, that looks good on you, girl. Come on. She got some compassion on. Now listen, she's wearing compassion. So now when she shows up, you see it in her because it's on her. We've been in a series that we've entitled, someone say follow. Now first service was very interactive. They talked to me a lot. I don't know if it's because I was out here with you. Second service, I need you to at least match their energy, okay? So somebody say follow. There we are. Wow, that's it. What we're talking about is the fact that Jesus didn't call us just to believe, but to follow. And I know a lot of people, the Bible says if we believe, yeah. But now what James says is, listen, even the demons believe and tremble. There's actually more to just believing intellectually. Come on, an intellectual assent to the fact that there's a God. That's easy, by the way. I don't have to go in. Like, it's easy. You don't find a watch and assume that the ocean spit it up. You go, it's obviously a watchmaker. You cannot look at the complexity of design within you and just go, oh, it happened. If the watch didn't just happen, then you didn't just happen, my friend. It's very easy to make the connection. There is a God. I believe that there's a God. So Jesus says, it's not just believe, you got to follow. Not just intellectual assent, interactional life. And so we've been talking about that. That's what we're called to. So we go, what does that look like? Well, Jesus, take up your cross and follow me. I'm not going to repeat all of it, but just to give you, take up your cross and follow me. It's a cross. I don't like cross. They're like, cross? Why a cross? Jesus says, something's going to die. What's going to die? I die to myself. God said, I want your will, your way. You with me? God, I want your desire. Your desires are better than my desires. And so I surrender to you. I take up my cross and I follow you. And then if I want your will, God, how are you going to reveal your will? Week 2, we talked about the fact that those who are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is going to lead you. We talked about through his word and people and all that. When somebody's following Jesus, the very first thing that Jesus calls them to follow him into, remember he said, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, we had a baptism last week, and come on, everybody, 61 people came up into the waters of baptism. Come on, somebody. 61 people. The team was like, should we get 2 tanks? I'm like, yeah, let's get 2. I'm glad we did. We would have been there, guys, forever, which is fine. I loved it. But 61 people got baptized. It's incredible. Now, listen, here's where we're going today. Baptism is all about going public with our faith. It's a declaration of our faith. It's declaring our faith out loud. But here's what I want you to hear, is now that we've declared our faith out loud, that baptism, declaring my faith out loud, is meant to then lead me into a life where I'm living my faith out loud. Yeah. See, I don't just declare it, hey, I love Jesus. I live it. I live loving Jesus. I don't just declare I'm following Jesus. I live following Jesus. I live my faith out loud. I actually kind of think baptism helps us break through that barrier. It's like, okay, I'm public now. I'm gonna live public now. I take my faith out loud. So Jesus has called us to live our faith out loud. So here's my question today I wanna wrestle with. What does that look like? Like, what does it look like to live my faith out loud? And I know that when some of you here live your faith out loud, come on, this is what you're thinking. You got pastors telling us to live our faith out loud. You're thinking this. Come on for the screen so that you can see it too. There we go. Some of you thinking that. Like, pastors, don't put me on some box on a street corner yelling at everybody. Anyone meet this guy? Come on, you've met this guy, usually in Hollywood yelling at you, and you're trying to tell him that you love God, and he's telling you, no, not like you should, right? And some of you, I don't know your heart, brother. He might be great, but I'm just illustration. You know what I'm saying? So some of you think, that's out loud. Others of you, when you think of living your faith out loud, you think of Christians living their faith out loud or declaring their faith out loud. Here's what you think, sadly. Here's what we think. And I want you to listen. This says, you're going to hell. This says, God is your enemy. Not blessed, but cursed. And I want you to understand something. When this is how sad this is. So when I actually Googled this, give me some, you know, Christians picketing, I actually had to filter this. Like some of this stuff was so heartbreaking. I'm not even gonna put it on our church. It just breaks my heart. But some of us think, oh yeah, Christians, when they go loud with their faith, this is what it looks like. I want you to know this breaks the heart of God. So what does it look like to live our faith out loud? We gotta figure this out. So some of you are like, Pastor Chris, we know it's not like that. That's so radical. We'd never do that. We all know that living your faith out loud means getting some really good bumper stickers. Come on, right? With me? Now, this is blurry, but I just couldn't help it. I couldn't find better ones. I'm just going to tell you what it says. It says, in case of rapture, this car will be unmanned. Whose car is it? Let me read you some more on this. It says, don't let the car fool you. My treasure's in heaven. You guys, this is amazing. And some of you think, you go like, that's living your faith out loud. It's just getting that bumper sticker. Come on, you know, you got the Citizens Church bumper sticker. I can't put them on my car because we drive so bad. You with me? I'm kidding, we got them on our car. And some of you think that's what it is for sure. Others of you, I don't do the car thing. It's not about that. Chris, we all know it's about getting the right stickers for your Stanley Cup, right? Come on, some of you, that's living your faith out loud. You show up to work, you're like, boom, gospel on my gospel. I love this one. Someone has this one. Jesus fills my cup. Who Stanley is this, everybody? Let me see your hand. Come on, who's got it? Thank you, please, church. My goodness. And some of you think that's what it is, and others are like, okay, Chris, we know you're goofing around. That's not living your faith out loud. It's obviously, it's what you say in your Instagram bio. That's living your faith out loud. It's church merch. Come on, it's church merch. I'm gonna live out loud. I got my Exponential Years shirt on today at work. I got my, you know, lives changed through life in Christ. That's living my faith out loud. So what is this? What does it look like to live our faith out loud? We don't just declare it, we live it. You with me, church? Well, here's what Jesus said, and I want you to pay attention. We're gonna do this together. Jesus is getting ready to leave, and he pulls his disciples together to, in my opinion, sum up everything that he's been teaching them. Like, here's how you are to live. Here's what this looks like. Matter of fact, he actually tells them, this is me summing it all up for you. And here's what Jesus tells them when he pulls them together in John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus says, a new command I give to you, love one another. Now hold on with me. If you're like me, you hear this and you go, Jesus, hold up, a new commandment? I mean, we know that, Jesus. We know love one another. Come on, church, you with me? I grew up hearing love one another. The disciples are like, okay, Jesus, love one another. We've heard that. We know, that's not new, right? That's not new. But Jesus goes on and here's what he says. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, you are to love one another. In other words, don't do this the way you've done this. Don't do love the way you do love. Don't do life the way you would do life. Don't do this the way you would do this. And he's talking to his disciples. He says, I want you to love the way I have loved you. Now, I always love to put myself in the mindset of those who were actually there in the moment. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Matthew. So think about being Matthew. And Jesus says, I want you not to love like you would love Matthew. I want you to love like I have loved you, Matthew. And Matthew, do you remember you as a tax collector? Do you remember no one accepted you? No one invited you in? Do you remember people would walk by and spit on you, Matthew? Do you remember you're an outcast, Matthew? Do you remember how on the fringe of society you were and everyone thought because you were doing this that you didn't? Do you remember how far you were gone, Matthew? And do you remember I invited you, Matthew? That I brought you in, I loved on you, I cared for you. I brought you into my inner circle. Even before you believed, Matthew, I let you belong. Matthew, I want you to love others the way I have loved you. Hey, and Nathaniel, do you remember when you, the very first thing you said when you heard I was from Nazareth? The very first time you were introduced to me and they said, oh, Jesus from Nazareth, you literally said, do you remember this, Nathaniel? You said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, the very first thing you said, you dissed my hometown. You just went there, Nathaniel. And do you remember that I still called you? That I still brought you in? Peter? Oh, Peter. Peter, do you remember? Do you remember when you were walking on the water, Peter? Do you remember you started to drown? You remember you started to sink? You were going down. You were drowning, Peter. And do you remember, Peter, that I didn't let you drown? I actually reached down and pulled you back up, Peter. Now listen, Peter, I want you to love others the way I've loved you. Peter, I want you to do for others the exact same thing that I did for you. Matthew, the exact same thing. Nathaniel, the exact same thing I did for you. Hey, all you fishermen who are out there thinking your life was caught up in just catching fish, I want you, and I gave you purpose, and I want you now to do for others the same thing I've done for you. I want you to love others the way I have loved you. And by the way, Peter, you don't know this yet, but you're about to go chop some guy's ear off and you're gonna make a mess. And I'm gonna clean it, I'm gonna fix it, I'm gonna make things right again, Peter. I want you to love others like, oh, Peter, by the way, you don't know this yet either, but you're about to deny me. And when I rise again, I'm gonna come find you to remind you that I love you, even though you deny me. Now, think about it, church. Jesus says, I want you to now go and extend to others what I've extended to you. To love others the way I have loved you. When I say I want you to love as I have loved, that's the kind of love I'm talking about. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love. Listen, Jesus goes, I want this. Someone say this. This love. I want this to be the mark. I want people to when they see this, when they feel this, when they get around this love, it's different. It's a different love. It's extraordinary. It's called an agape love. It's from God and it flows out from God's people. When they get around this, they go, you must be one of those Christians. Jesus says, that's what should be happening here. That's what I want you guys to go and do. You know that this is the only time that Jesus gave us something. He pointed at one specific thing and said, this sums it all up. This is what it looks like. Oh, we make it so many other things, but Jesus goes, no, this is the one thing. I want this to identify my disciples. This is to mark you. Is that pretty clear, everybody? It's kind of a half yes. Yeah. But now what happens? Jesus says this, it's very clear. And I think we do what Simon Peter did, because it tells us that Simon, right after Jesus says this, I just picture this big moment, and I want you, they're like, yes, Jesus. What is it, Jesus? To go love, okay? As I've loved you. And it's this big moment, and then you just go, the very next verse, look what Simon says. He goes, Lord, all this love stuff, yeah, we get it. I just need to know, where are you going? What? Jesus had told them that he was gonna go somewhere. He gives them this whole thing. And where's his mind? Simon's like, yeah, like a lot of us. Oh yeah, love. Yeah, we heard all about that, Jesus. Yeah, love, the whole love thing. He's talking about the love thing. Jesus, can we talk about something deeper? Can we talk about something else? Jesus, can we expand on this whole idea of you going away? Like, give me that. Like, what? I want to talk. Jesus goes, no, listen. And I think a lot of us go there. We just kind of go, anyway, Jesus. Yeah, I know love, but maybe we could talk about something else now. And it's so wild. Jesus just simply says, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. Not your love, not the way you do it, when you do it like I have done for you. And it's so wild because I think the gravitational pull of religion, so you gotta be careful of religion. This is not religious relationship with Jesus. but there's a gravitational pull in religion. And the gravitational pull in religion is not toward, typically, it's not toward love. The gravitational pull in religion is typically toward rule-keeping and not relationship building. So think about it, right? Religion goes, I'm gonna keep rules. And Jesus goes, okay, listen, this isn't about keeping rules and keeping rules. It's about building relationships, loving people, but I want to keep rules. Why do we love religion? I'm just gonna claim it for us. We love religion. Some of you, you love religion. See, we love religion. Us religious people love religion. Why? Because I can control religion. You see, religion is about rules. Just go with me for a second. You're thinking, religion's about rules. And when it's about rules, I can create a world where I build myself up, I puff myself up with everything I do. I follow the rules. I know the rules. I've memorized the rules. I know the Ten Commandments. And I also know 10 people who aren't living those Ten Commandments. I follow the rules. I do this right. You see, I here's what I do. Oh, and I figure when I don't do what I'm supposed to do, Jesus is gonna forgive me because there's a thing called forgiveness. He got grace on me, but the grace he has on me, he's not gonna have on them. You see, and I build this world for myself where I'm just doing great and I'm better than everybody. See, I follow the rules and you don't, and you don't, and you don't, and you don't, but I do, and I've got this religion that I build around myself. And Jesus says, please listen, I never want this to go there. Never let Christianity and what my name is to be on, never let this go there. Don't become a bunch of religious people who are walking around keeping all your rules and yet not loving on the very people that I've died to reach. And I think sometimes we are so bad at this. I'm just gonna speak in general, not you citizens, just in general. I think we are so bad at this. You know what, we're so bad at this that some of you have been mistreated in the name of religion. You have been mistreated in the name of Jesus. And some of you in here today, you thought to yourself, and you've thought this, I can never be a follower of Jesus. I don't think he even likes me. I mean, according to what I've heard from other Christians and what I've seen in these pictures, I don't even think he would like me. You see, I can't follow Jesus. He would probably never even invite me. But here's what I want you to understand, friends, is that he doesn't just like you. He loves you immensely. He loves you so much he gave his life for you to forgive you and wash you and cleanse you and invite you and walk with you all the days of your life. Jesus doesn't just like you, he loves you. And I want to apologize on behalf of any religious person that ever made you think otherwise, because the same Jesus that walked up to Matthew in the middle of all of his tax collecting and walked up to, you know, those who were out, the girls that were out sleeping around and giving their bodies to get money through sex, and the girls, like all the fringe, like Jesus said, that's who I went to and tucked up right alongside me. Why? Because I love them. Those who were doubting. Man, we have a disciple named Doubting Thomas. What did he do? He doubted the whole time. I don't know if I really believe this. Like, I don't know. Just take another step. Okay. But I don't know. Like, and some of us, we're so frustrated with people who doubt around us. And then she goes, come here. Come on. There's grace for that. You can, Matthew didn't even believe yet he belonged to the group. You could belong before you believe. Jesus, come on. Just come on the journey with me. You see? I think that Jesus knew if he didn't give these guys super clear guidance, he's pretty just super clear guidance. Love one another as I've loved you. This is what it looks like. This should be marked by nothing else that he says is supposed to mark us. This is marks us. Bible knowledge doesn't mark, but memory doesn't mark us. But church attendance, I don't mark. They say, this is what's to mark a follower of Jesus. I think he knew if he didn't give us super clear guidance, that this whole thing would just become some dead, lifeless religion. And Jesus never intended for that. So he says, the thing that will distinguish you is the way you love other people. And you are to love them not the way that you would love them. Not the way you think they deserve to be loved. You are to love them the way that I love them. And how did Jesus love them? He gave his life for them. So the church community has labeled them, written them off, and Jesus goes, I died for them to bring them in. And if we sit here and go and make people feel like Jesus doesn't like them, I need you to hear me. I think what Jesus might actually really not like is when the very people who are called to represent him actually go around misrepresenting him to the world that he died to reach. And we just have to, friends, we have to get this, by this, all men will know. All people will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. Don't substitute this. Look at me here, but come on. Don't substitute it. There's a tendency, there's a religious impulse in us to substitute this. Here's what we do. I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus. How do we know you're a follower of Jesus? Oh, I go to church on Sunday. You should. I'm glad you're here. Come on, everybody, I'm glad you're in church. We go to church on Sunday. But you've heard me say it before, showing up to church on Sunday doesn't make you a Christian any more than showing up to McDonald's makes you a Big Mac. Come on, everybody. It just doesn't work that way. So it's not, I go to church, I'm a Christian, why I go to church, okay? I'm a follower of Jesus, I read my Bible. Okay, good. Here's what you're doing, is you're substituting disciplines for really what the outcome of discipleship should be. Discipleship isn't only about discipline. Discipline is a small part of discipleship, but it's not the entirety of it. Discipline is only a part of discipleship, but it's not a substitute for discipleship. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you go, I have discipline, therefore I'm a Christian. Jesus goes, you should have discipline. We do have discipline. But if it's not producing discipleship, in other words, I am like the one I'm following. I love like the one I'm following. I have mercy like the one I'm doing what he did. Then I've missed it. When we substitute love for all these other things that we want to fill in the blank with, you actually become religious and miss Jesus in the process. And I don't know about you, but I don't ever want that to be said of any of us. I don't want to live like that. And I just think if we're not careful, we miss this and we mess it up. You know, that's why some of you haven't come to church in a really long time. It's because you know Christians who've messed this up. So you've met Christians out there in the wild and they're really mean to you. And so you've told yourself, I am never going to your headquarters. Like, why would I show up on Sunday? Like, you're mean to me in line at Trader Joe's. Like, why would I show up on Sunday? Like, some of you, listen, this is why some of you have, like, you're afraid to read your Bible. Like, you know you should, but you don't want to. Why? Because the people you know who know the most scripture are often the meanest people in the world. And you're like, I don't want to read that. It just makes people mean. Listen, the problem there is that they have exchanged discipline for discipleship. Discipleship leads me to do what Jesus did. And what Jesus did, are you following me? Is he loved. He says, and I want you now to love as I have loved. Jesus is very clear. And then 20 years, someone say 20. 20 years later. So Jesus makes this statement, love as I have loved, is very clear. Everybody on page, Simon, I know, okay, you wanna talk about it? No, come back. Like, love as I have loved. And someone say 20. Just 20 years later. This isn't 120 years. This isn't like some 2,000 years go by. It's 20 years later. Paul the Apostle, he's out planting churches and he's writing letters to the churches. And do you know what the majority of his letters are helping to correct in the church? The fact that this isn't happening in the church. Matter of fact, the exact opposite is happening in the church. Instead of loving others as Jesus loved them, they're out judging others, confronting others, writing off others. They're out, do you know that there was fighting, infighting in the church? What are they fighting about? Corinthians. What are they fighting about in Corinthians? They're fighting about whose gift is better. Jesus said, everybody go love people. And they're in the church going, well, I have the gift of tongues, and that's better than the gift of prophecy. And I have the gift of this, and that's, and they're just fighting it. So what is, Paul's letter in Corinthians is actually a correctional letter. He's confronting them and correcting them, going, no, listen, everybody, I don't care what gift it is you think you have. If you do not love, it's the sound of a clanging cymbal or brass. It means, in other words, it means nothing without love. And his whole thing in Corinthians 13, when you go down 13, love is patient, love is kind. You hear it at weddings all the time. What is he doing? He's going, hey, church, don't forget that everything is built on the very thing I did for you. And what I did for you above all things is love you, care for you, walk with you. And I need you, church, to do that. If you follow me, this is what it looks like. And so Paul's writing to correct this all the time. And he gives us what I want to give you. In the book of Colossians, the Spirit of God gives Paul a illustration. The Spirit of God through the pen of Paul, gives us an illustration on how do we do this? Because like, how do I do this thing called love? And so he sits down and he writes it out. And here's what the Spirit of God gives us as an illustration. Here's what I want us to leave here thinking about, okay? You with me? You ready? Yeah. What does he say? Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself. Someone say, clothe yourself. Clothe yourself with compassion. Look at this. Don't just go do compassion. Clothe yourself with it. I want you to wear it. Compassion. Compassion is that ability to connect with people and their story, where they are and their journey so far. It's the ability to allow myself to feel. I'm gonna hear that, I'm gonna slow down and just have compassion on some people. He said, I want you to wear compassion. I want you to wear kindness. Kindness is you just extending to people out of your strength to help meet them in a time of need. I'm gonna extend life-giving words. I'm gonna extend some time. I'm gonna extend some money. I'm just taking my strength to help bless other people. I'm just being kind. He says, I want you to wear kindness. I want you to wear humility. I don't walk in a room thinking I'm above everybody else. I walk in a room and I'm wearing humility. Humility just says, listen, I know I might own the company and I might, some of you like, you're going, well, I'm Insta famous. I've got 1.5 million followers on Instagram and oh, congratulations. But here's what you need to know. If you're gonna be a follower of Jesus, there's a humility on you that says, that's not what makes me important. What makes me important is the same thing that makes you important, is that you are loved by God. The very thing he's asking us to do. That's what makes you important. Humility is it's just a proper positioning of myself in a room. I own the company. Great. Walk in humility. Because what makes you special is the same thing that makes every single one of your employees special, is they are loved by God. And you need to carry yourself in the way where they feel that and they sense that from you. You following me, church? He says, wear humility, wear gentleness. Gentleness is the word. It's applying the appropriate amount of force, energy. I pick up a contact a little different than I pick up a baseball or basketball. There's a gentleness, you see. And he said, I need you to apply appropriate. Come on, meet people where they are. Don't steamroll people. He said, I want you to wear gentleness and patience. Come on, you just suffer along with people. I've been trying with them forever. Wear patience. Wear patience. Here's what it looks like to love, is that you're wearing these things. Now watch this. Bear with each other and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against you. It's so important because I want you to wear forgiveness. Just wear it. You're going to forgive people. It means you're not going to hold things over people. And we look at that list and we go, okay, there's a bunch of stuff I've got to go do. Please hear me. I better go do compassion and I better go do, humility, and I gotta go do these things. Here we go, church, let's go do it. And we close the message. No. You're gonna go do it, but don't go do it. Wear it. Now, here's what the Spirit of God gives Paul, is he actually goes on to say this. He goes, forgive others, and he does the same thing that Jesus did with love. Here's what he says, forgive one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Are you seeing this? I want you to go do this, but here's how. You're gonna do it how it's been done to you. You're gonna do it in the same way that it's been done to you. So you're not gonna do it like you would do it. How would you forgive? I know how you would forgive. Come on, you'd forgive when you feel like it. Come on, I'll forgive you when I feel like it. I've heard this one before. I'm not gonna tell you where. I'll forgive you when you stop doing it. I've heard that before, right? Jesus says here, he goes, no, remember, this isn't about you doing it how you do it. It's about you doing it how I do it. And I don't do it when I feel like it, and I don't do it when you deserve it, and I don't do it when you stop it. I forgive you even when you don't deserve it, when you don't stop it, right? Yeah. You following me, church? Don't do it when you do it because he. And this is where God is taking us. Cadence, can you come help me, my love? Everybody, please welcome to the stage my amazing youngest daughter, Cadence. So this did not take a whole lot of conversation or anything to get her up here today. She's amazing. So here's what I think happens. Hey, Cadence is gonna help me bring this point home and what I want you guys to leave with. I think we get stuck with go do compassion. Go do. I'm gonna go, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm gonna go do all these things. So here's what we do. Okay, we come over here and we go, oh, look, compassion. And we take notes. You're taking notes. Look at compassion. I'm gonna take notes and go to compassion. Okay, that's what it looks like. I heard it in church. The preacher talked about compassion. I'm gonna go over here and I'm gonna do compassion, right? And you look over again. There's compassion. I'm over here trying to do compassion. Just do it, right? And we're doing compassion. And we come here, we go, say, mercy, talk about mercy, write that all down, okay? You see where I'm going? We come over here, go to work, oh, I'm gonna do mercy, right? We're gonna do mercy. You're doing so good. Now, here's what Paul says. Listen, Paul comes along and says, church, don't just think go do. Yes, you're gonna go do, but don't think go do. You say, don't think go do. I want you to think put on. Oh, that's different. You see, the way you're gonna see something in me is when I put something on me. Oh, in that case, Cadence, can I introduce you to some compassion, mercy, some love? We're not just gonna study it and take good notes on it, come on. Oh yeah, that looks good on you, girl. Come on. She got some compassion on. Now listen, she's wearing compassion. So now when she shows up, you see it in her because it's on her. On her. Now, here's my question. Where does compassion, gosh, it looks so good. Where does compassion come from? Where does compassion come from? Jesus. Where does love come from? God is love, compassion, mercy, forgiveness. Where does what I wear come from? Jesus. So now listen, I don't go do this, I wear it. Friends, when I walk out in the morning, I'm gonna think to myself, I need to put on compassion. I'm gonna clothe myself. Why? He's gonna put on me compassion. Oh, the Bible says that when Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion. It means that Jesus saw the crowds and his heart went out to them. He was broken for them. And Jesus, listen, I'm gonna put that, Jesus sees that in me. He's got compassion for Cadence. He's got compassion for me. And so before I leave the house, I'm not just thinking, I'm gonna go do compassion today. No, I'm gonna put on compassion today. I'm gonna wear that for which Christ Jesus died to give me. I'm gonna wear that for which Jesus sent his son to provide for me, an example for me. I'm gonna wear it today. Oh, and you're gonna see it in me, why? Because I got it all on me. Yeah. Hey, kindness. Anyone grateful that Jesus is kind? Oh my goodness. Kate, listen, I mean, I don't know if we have any kindness up here, but my goodness, Jesus is kind. And so I put kindness on. It's on me. It's on me. So now you see it in me. Hey, anyone grateful? Humility? The Bible says this. The Bible says in Philippians, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form and nature of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant or a slave. Yeah. Humility, have that mind in you. How can I have it in me? He's done it for me. He put it on me. So now I'm gonna wear it out of the house. You're gonna see it on me. You getting this, guys? Anyone grateful that Jesus is patient today and merciful and gracious? So I wear patience. I'm grateful Jesus is patient. He should have given up on me a long time ago, but he doesn't. So guess what I leave the house wearing? Patience. Why? Because he was patient with me. I'm gonna go and wear forgiveness, and I am grateful Jesus has forgiven me. Guess what I'm gonna do today? I'm not just gonna go do forgiveness, I'm gonna wear forgiveness, and I tell you, church, this is a good look. It's a really good look. Don't think, just go do. Think, put on. They will see it in you when you got it all on you. When you're wearing it, just wear it, live in it. Thank God for it. I'm not generating it, I'm embraced by it. Cadence May, thank you so much. So good. I don't know what I owe you for coming up here, but my goodness. Hey, she said a lot. Look, listen to me. I need you to understand that Jesus, please, this isn't go do. Jesus has purchased for you a whole new wardrobe. You got a whole new, this is literally one of my girls' wardrobe. They can go home and be like, "Where you took my wardrobe." I literally took it. He purchased for you a whole new wardrobe. Our job, I'm gonna go love as he has loved. How do I love as he has loved? When I live in his love. And so I'm trying to get you to understand. I'm not just trying to, I'm gonna generate it. Before I leave my house, I'm gonna thank God for it. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for forgiveness. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, God, for compassion. Thank you, God. And now all of a sudden that I've got it on me, you're gonna see it in me. You see, it starts to show up in my life. I got it on me. And some of you just need to stop before you walk out the door and thank God. Some of you need to stop before you walk into the meeting where you know there's gonna need a little extra patience with that person. And before you walk in the meeting, don't go in and go, I'm gonna go be patient. Go into the meeting going, God, thank you that you've been so patient with me. I'm gonna wear it right now. I'm gonna wear it. Before you go to deal with the kids, I don't know what you're gonna need to deal with the kids, but here's what I do know is that whatever you need to deal with the kids, God has already put on you. Because he's done it for you. He's only asking you to do what he's done for you. So stop just trying to do it and just live wearing it. Just live in it, friends. Rest in it. John 13:34. Love, how? As I have loved you, that's how I'm calling you to love one another. What is he saying to them? He's literally saying, let what I've put on you, Matthew, let what I've put on you, Nathaniel, what I've put on you, Peter, what I've put on you to now be seen in you. You can't see it in me unless it's on me. Now let's talk straight. Give me the whole list. So we see a list like this, to be close. Compassion. Church, you gotta go be compassionate. And it just sounds so like, yeah, we're gonna do it. And when you whisper, it makes it even better and more powerful. We're gonna be compassionate. Go, church. And kindness and humility and gentleness. We're gonna go do all these things. Let's go do them. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, you say, look at that list, you're going, okay, but Pastor Chris, you're like Simon, a little bit like, okay, Pastor, but how are we gonna get anything done? I think we got some type A personalities in here that look at this list and go, that's great, Pastor Chris, but I gotta show up to work on Monday. That's great, but I got some kids I gotta raise. This is a great list, but I thought you said we're one of these churches that's going to change the world. How are we going to change the world doing? And I think here's what we think to ourselves. I'm going to actually be more productive at work and in raising my kids if we flip the script. We flip the, like they don't need compassion. They just need a little tough love. Yeah, they need to suck it up. They don't need kindness. They need to be put them, they don't need, right? Humility. They need to know who's boss. And we flip it and remind you, think that's how we're going to get things done. But I want to remind you of something, church. Think about who said this. First, Jesus. Jesus said this. Jesus got more done in his 3 years than you're ever going to get done in your lifetime. I promise you. How did he do it? How did he do it? He told you how he did it. Paul, who Spirit of God gave him the illustration, clothe yourself. Paul got more done. I mean, I know you got a lot of good things going, but you're not gonna start a movement and you're not gonna plant as many churches. You're not gonna be a part of the foundational work of the church in the way that Paul was. Paul was mightily used by God. And how did he do it? What was it on Paul? Is a new wardrobe. Because friends, living your faith out loud it doesn't look like this. It doesn't look like, let's go back to those pictures. Living your faith out loud doesn't look like this. Living your faith out loud does not look like, give me the next one, this. You know what that is? That's making a point. Make my point. Make my point. And I want you to understand something, friends. Jesus didn't come to make a point. If he came to make a point, it'd been a whole lot easier and a lot quicker. He'd come and make his point and move on. Jesus did not come to just make a point. He came to make a difference. And the difference that is needed in your world will never be made by you just making a point. The difference that is needed to be made in your world is made when you wear what he's purchased for you to wear. When you love as he has loved. Listen, the difference that needs to be made at your home, do you know how it's made? Come on, when I said home, some of you went right to your, you know, you went right to your spouse, you went right to your marriage, said, I know how I'm gonna make a difference in my house. It's by, I'll make a better point than they made last time. We got in a fight, they had a good point, but I've been thinking about it. And I'm gonna tell them this, and that's, and they're gonna go, did you ever make a better point? And them go, oh, you got a good point. It's all different now. That your good point doesn't make a difference. You know what makes a difference? Love. Love, friends, not this. Love makes a difference. It's you wearing what Jesus has called you to wear. You see, you need to stop living in your old wardrobe. You need to put on that which Jesus has purchased for you and let that make the difference in the places God puts you. You see, the difference that needs to be at home and marriage, the difference that needs to be made at work. Can I tell you, it happens when you show up to work wearing that which Christ has done for you, what he's called you to wear. That makes the difference. And I genuinely believe, friends, that what our world is longing for is the thing that Jesus called us to do, is to go and make a difference in the way that he's called us to. It's only made when we're loving others the way he loved us. When we put it on and then we live it out. So I've got an idea. How about we clothe ourselves? That we don't just say we're Christians because we're what we do on Sunday, but because how we live on Monday, yeah. How I treat people on Monday. It's not just what I read on the weekend, but how I'm living on the weekday. You see, it's and I'm again not just go do, but put on. And now let Jesus in me and through me begin to change and shape the environments around me, because I am living as one who follows him. I'm under the flow of who he is. The fountain of all of his goodness falls on me. And now, listen, overflows from me. to the world that is in need of him. 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 Can I tell you what'll happen, friends? If we clothe ourselves in the way he's called us to, it'll change your city. It'll change your home. It'll change your school. It'll change your life. It'll change California. It'll change our nation. Because this is what he's called us to. This is what it looks like to follow Jesus. Would you pray with me?